I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in the hour, we're going to meet the filmmakers behind Between Two Rivers, a film that documents the history of Cairo, Illinois, a story of boom and bust, wealth and poverty, fires, floods, and bad luck. And in our monthly soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine, we're going to examine the art of bread making and answer some frequently asked questions with expert bread makers Josh Allen and Ted Wilson. We begin with an exhibit that runs through mid-December at St. Louis University's Museum of Contemporary Religious Art, MOCRA. Patrick Graham, 30 years, The Silence Becomes the Painting. Joining us, MOCRA's director, Terry Dempsey, Jack Rutberg of Jack Rutberg Fine Arts in Los Angeles, and Eamon Wall, professor of Irish Studies and English at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I could learn a lesson in English right here, I think. Mm-hmm. Patrick Graham is considered by many to be one of Ireland's most important contemporary artists. Would you all sort of share your take on that? And Dr. Wall, as a native Irishman, let's begin with you.
Well, what's very interesting, I think, about this exhibit is the fact that for the last number of decades, we've heard a lot about Irish writing and Irish music and Irish film. But we haven't been exposed as much to Irish art. So it's really exciting to have the work of one of Ireland's greatest artists exhibited here at the moment. And I think it's a very important exhibit, and I think it's one that people will be challenged by and will enjoy greatly.
Jack Rutberg, you actually represent the artist.
I do. I've had the privilege of doing so for the last 25 years or so, and I must say that it is a privilege in being able to present something that has so profoundly engaged the viewers, the visitors. Graham has had a profound impact, particularly on artists in Los Angeles. The work is not hugely known internationally. People seek it out. It's rare. This is a very, very special occasion to see this profoundly important and moving exhibition at MOCRA.
Terry Dempsey, how many Irish artists of this renown are there?
Well, I think Jack is better able to answer that than I am. Patrick Graham, I was introduced to Patrick Graham by Peter Sells, the great art historian and art curator and director of the University Art Museum in Berkeley. And he told me to go down when I was in studies, to go down and see Patrick's work at Jack's gallery in Los Angeles. And when I saw it, I found it disturbing and yet quite moving and provocative. It's very complex work, but it draws you in. But Jack can answer the question about the other artists better than I can.
I would say that, Ireland, as Eamon suggested, has not had a strong visual arts history. It's been predominated by remarkable art in literature, theater, music. But the visual arts has not been a realm that has held court. Patrick Graham is someone who has tapped into a kind of an international sensibility, not looking out so much as looking inward. And he has, as I like to say, dug the Irish turf so deeply that he's come out the other side and has touched on human qualities that people outside of Ireland, not having an Irish experience, relate to. They're profoundly poetic works, deeply meditative and provocative in a way that challenge the viewer, because they really are confounded by sometimes the things that they see. He stands apart, and many in Ireland would actually say and argue that Patrick Graham really gave license to personalistic expression in Ireland. So there isn't really a large body of Irish artists. There are those exceptions, but Patrick Graham stands apart even from major Irish artists.
Let me read something from the catalog, if I may, and have you comment on this. Patrick Graham's works or makes table-sized drawings and large personal history paintings using a reduced system of marks that he's refined over the course of the past several decades. His palette is dominated by dingy whites, pale grays, muddled blacks, and populated by turgid bursts of crimson, blackberry, orange, and occasionally bright yellow details. So how would each of you describe Patrick Graham's work to a radio audience?
Well, for me, I see in Patrick Graham's work a coming together of the ancient and the modern. The colors that you mentioned, for example, the yellows and the golds, are very much the colors of the Book of Kells, you know, of the ancient Irish manuscripts. And I think that Patrick Graham's work is also deeply religious, deeply sacramental. So I think that what I see shining most in his art is this mixture of the ancient and the contemporary in Ireland. But it looks different, and it takes a while to understand, but all these elements are very much in free play in his work.
And I would also add, by the way, that the palette that you speak of, if you really look at the landscape of Ireland, you drive down the roads, you will see remarkable variations of green, but the colors are really that yellow. The soil, the turf, which has a magical component, and that's a whole other conversation, what turf really means in Ireland. It was the thing that people warmed their homes with. They cooked by. You could smell it. It perfumed the air from a distance of miles away before you get to a home. These things were palpable. And that dark soil, that turf, really predominates the color field, the color landscape in Patty's work.
Terry, I think you said that when you first saw his work, you found it disturbing. These might be your words that I'm quoting here. His work was hard to like, but impossible to disrespect.
Well, those aren't exactly my words, but I think you're right. They draw you in. You look at them, and there's all kinds of symbols hidden underneath the paint. It's collaged. A lot of the paintings are collaged. You have different media. You have oil. You have graphic. You have pencil. You have ink. What I found, his works are autobiographical. There's introspective qualities to him. And they are a record of our times. And he's using the techniques in the modern art world that is being used in our time. In a way, they're history paintings, but when I say history paintings, that usually means story paintings, so a nativity scene or a battle. But these are very personal history paintings, and they involve his own personal symbols, and sometimes he even puts a little lexicon, a little chart in there that helps us define what he's doing. But there's so much going on in the work, but it invites you to enter it quietly. I see him addressing the themes of loss and love, and hope, and suffering, and doubt. And in the midst of doubt, that hope again, death and the hope of resurrection. All these things he is embracing in the work.
And let's not forget sex. Sexuality is a big part of that.
Now that you brought it up, what would you like to say about that?
Well, I think that that is an attribute, the sensuality and the sexuality. These were taboos to be spoken of at one time in Ireland in a very, very large way. And Patrick even broke those boundaries in many respects. There's a beautiful passion. It never gets into something that is uncomfortable, but he's really addressing this remarkable journey from birth to maturation to death. It is this existential journey, and that's what is so remarkable that anyone can relate to on some meditative level. They're very, very beautiful paintings.
I would agree with that, and I would also mention the violence. I mean, there is a kind of violence in the paintings, and pain and hurt and everything.
Indeed.
And I think that these are drawn from two sources. First, internal sources of the pain within the artist, but also a reflection of society in which he grew up in. I mean, he grew up in Ireland at a time of violence. So, and I think that his paintings are very honest in the sense that they don't shirk away from any of the tougher parts of society and of experience.
Also from the catalog, his work is strategically unfinished. It is left open. What does that mean to you?
I don't know if they're unfinished so much as distilled. You can overwork anything, and the openness that he is able to utilize in some of the canvases. They're all suggestive of this expansive landscape that Ireland is, these amazing vistas, these large skies and horizons. The work is reductive. It is distilled to its absolute essence, and that's what poetry, that's what great music is. They're not overworked in the finished sort of manner.
Go ahead.
One of the things that we've had a lot of artists from St. Louis visit this exhibition. We've had students, we've had practicing artists beyond the college age, and they all like this work. They're attracted to this work. One student said that some of the paintings and the smaller works remind her of her sketchbook. There are all kinds of notations there. And he intentionally, you're almost experiencing the process of Patrick's creating this work. You'll see a sentence or some words, and he doesn't finish the sentence, or he covers up the sentence. Uh-huh. So you are asked to finish it. And so there is that sense of incompletion, but it's intentional.
Someone said his work was autobiographical. I'm not sure who it was, but Terry. So let's talk about the man a little bit. He was born in Ireland in 1943, so I guess he'd be around 70, I guess.
Close to it.
Close.
And his talent evidently was obvious from an early age.
Yes, he was a prodigy. You have to understand that he was a prodigy in drawing. This was a natural, unearned gift, as he called it. And the notions of art as being something self-indulgent and personally expressive, that just didn't exist in the poverty of Ireland. So when he went to the academy, to the schools, and by the way, when he received, he actually won a prize, a full scholarship to college as a sheer joke. His teacher, he had a teacher that he submitted his drawings, and at something like 9 years old, he was given full scholarship based on these drawings. And of course, it was a joke. But when he actually went to the academy, he was the youngest person to do so at 16 years old. Mm. In college, Patrick discovered that this facility that he had an emptiness in a sense. There was no truth in it. It was mere facility. And he had to throw that away to work in some deep personalistic realm.
You used the term his unearned gift.
Yes.
And also I read in the catalog that was described as the burden.
Yes.
Maybe those were his words, I'm not sure. The burden of his unearned gift. Am I reading between the lines? I almost got the sense that he suffered some sort of depression?
Well, the escape, of course, from that burden of celebrity for an unearned gift drove him to very deep despair and drink, and that was the escape. So there's a long personal history from which he emerged from in the process of becoming a real artist and not merely someone who could exercise the brilliance, this polished, unearned gift.
One thing I want to say, Steve, is that this Sunday we're going to be having a program at St. Louis University.
These two gentlemen and three more people.
That's right. And we're going to be discussing the art of Patrick Graham. Patrick is not able to join us, but we will have Jack is here, the great museum director and historian and curator, Peter Sells, who curated this exhibition. He is 93 years young. He is very much involved with the art world, and he is one of those legends in modern art history. Kenneth Baker, one of the top art critics in America, he's coming in. He's the art critic for the San Francisco Chronicle. And two of our panelists, Dr. Eamon Wall, is with us today, and from the University of Missouri St. Louis. He is the professor, the Smurfit Stone Corporation Professor of Irish Studies at UMSL. And Dr. Ellen Crowell will be joining us. She's Associate Professor of English with a specialization in Irish literature and culture. It's going to be an exciting and interesting conversation.
Just a few moments left. Eamon, how does...
May I interrupt?
Yes.
We should say, though, that beyond the conversation, there will be an opportunity to see the exhibition.
Yes.
Following the panel, people will have an opportunity to move through that exhibition and really engage us individually.
Let me go over this thing quickly. Mocha presents Patrick Graham, 30 Years, The Silence Becomes the Painting, running through December the 16th.
Yes.
At Mocha, which is at 3700 West Pine. If you go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, we'll have a link to Mocha's website. And also the conversation about the art of Patrick Graham that you just mentioned, Terry, will be Sunday beginning at 1:30 at Mocha.
That's right.
And if you want more information, go to our website for that. So two quick things briefly. Eamon, how does the artist's work speak to you?
Well, the artist's work speaks to me in the same way that the plays and fiction of Samuel Beckett speak to me, that it is about what is there, but is also about the silence. What is absent from the art is as important as what is there.
And Jack, as the man who's represented his work for some time, what is the artist like as a person?
He's as powerful as the paintings and as fragile as the paintings, and as thoughtful and poignant, and I'm just very, very privileged to be his friend.
That's Jack Rutberg, director of Jack Rutberg Fine Arts in Los Angeles. We've also been speaking with Eamon Wall, professor of Irish Studies and English at UMSL, and Terry Dempsey is the director of MOCR, and you're celebrating, or just about to celebrate, 20 years.
Our 20 years, yes, coming up.
Big plans?
We're working on them right now. Surprises down the road.
Will you let us know?
I sure will. Please come on Sunday at 1:30. We hope that we have a good turnout. It's going to be an exciting conversation.
Patrick Graham, 30 years, The Silence Becomes the Painting. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Cityscape, The Art of Bread Making, and later a documentary on Cairo, Illinois. This is St. Louis Public Radio.